All right, everybody, welcome back to Monday Night Beis Medrash. So nice to have everybody back, have the Kol Torah back in our shul. Thank you so much to Oren and Gwen Davis for sponsoring tonight's shiur with Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the good that Hashem has bestowed upon their family. We very much appreciate it. And although you're remote, you're always a part of Kihilas Darchei Noam. So thank you very much. I wanted to begin our preparation for Pesach with some Torah from none other than Murray Verdavi or Rosenzweig. And I believe that this Torah that we're going to learn tonight is, of course, going to be a penetrating analysis of the sources that we're going to see. But as always, it's also going to really enrich our understanding of what we're doing on Pesach. What exactly is the Chag of Pesach really all about? So let's begin from Torah Shebichsav, where the Torah describes in Parshas Bo, we're going to read it in Parshas HaChodesh in just one more week. The Torah tells us in source number one, Shevas Yomim Matzos Tochelu, we're to eat matzah for 7 days. Ach Bayom Arishon Tashbisu Su'or Mibateichem, on the first of the days, which we derive in Torah Shebal Peh, really means Erev Pesach, on the 14th, we destroy our chametz. Whoever consumes chametz throughout the 7 days of Pesach is a subject to the very grave prohibition, the very grave punishment of karas. So off the bat, we have seemingly that we're supposed to eat matzah for 7 days. And what does the Torah call this holiday? Is it called a Pesach? What does it call this holiday? Chag HaMatzos. The Torah calls what we call Pesach Chag HaMatzos. And over again, it seems that we're supposed to eat matzah for 7 days. Barishon ba'arba asar yom lachodesh ba'erev tochlu matzos. You eat matzah on the first night. Ad yom ho'echad ba'esrim lachodesh ba'arev. Until the 21st. Kol machmetzes lo sochilu b'chol moshvoseichem tochlu matzos. You shouldn't eat chametz. Rather, what should you eat? Matzah. Can we have chametz during any time during all 7 days of Chag HaMatzos? Of course not. So it seems like whenever you can't eat the chametz, you should be eating the matzah. Matzos ochel is shivas hayomim. Should eat matzah for, they should be eaten for 7 days. V'lo yiro elecha chametz, v'lo yiro elecha sor b'chol gvulecha. Of course, the prohibition called bal yiro, bal yimotzei, which prohibits us from even owning our chametz, and that's why we get rid of it from our houses, even if we're not going to eat it. And then in Parshas Re'eh and Sefer Dvarim. So again, the Torah gives us the same impression. Torah tells us to shech the Korban Pesach on the 14th. And then it tells us, lo sochal olav chametz. Don't eat chametz together with the Korban Pesach. Rather, shiv'as yomim tochal olav matzos lechem oni. For 7 days you should eat matzah, which is called lechem oni. We'll return to that. Ki v'chi pazon atzos ameyaretz Mitzrayim, because you left in a haste from the land of Egypt. And then in the very, very last pasuk here, Sheishes Yomim Tochal Matzos Uvayom Hashvi'i Atzeres Hashem Elokecha. So here's where we get one little hint that something's a little bit off, because it tells us to eat matzah for only 6 days. So the overwhelming impression, if we only had the written Torah, what would we think? We would think you have to eat matzah for 7 days. Comes along the Torah Shebal Peh, in source number three, a Gemara quoted in by Rashi that many of us, I'm sure, are familiar with, which says as follows, Tana Kavasi de Rava. So there's a brisa that accords with Rava's opinion as follows. Rava's opinion is that matzah remains a biblical obligation nowadays. So what does the brisa say? Sheishas yomim tocha matzos of hayom hashvi'i atzeres Hashem Elokecha. For 6 days you should eat matzos, on the seventh you'll have a yom tov. Ma shvi'i rishos, af sheishas yomim rishos. The Torah told us to eat for only 6 days, for the first six. That means, what about the seventh? That you don't have to eat matzah. So says the Braisa that just as on the seventh you don't have to eat it, so too on that reflects back on the sixth, that there's also no obligation, but rather just a reshus. It's neutral, it's an option. My time, why do you say that? Havadavar shahaya bechlal v'yatza minaklal elami. For those of us who say Rabbi Yishmael, the 13 midos of Rabbi Yishmael every morning, so we know this principle, that sometimes the Torah will remove one instance from a greater principle, and that instance is meant to reflect back on the principle as a whole. So that's what this is saying. We have the Davar Shahaya Bechlal, V'yotam and Aklal Alamid, We should have said all 7 days, but instead we said six. We took the seventh day out. So lo lelamid al atmo yatza, ela lelamid al klal kulo yatza. The seventh day doesn't teach us only about itself, but also about the entire set, meaning all 6 days. So now, what are we left with? Now we're left with no mitzvah of matzah, because now we have all 7 days being an option. So why do we all have to go out and spend so much money in 2023 on matzah to make sure that we eat it on Pesach? No shots or matzahs this year. How many times is that joke going to be made, like in Pesach Shirim this year? I'm going over under like 500. Okay. So Yachol Af Laila Harishon Rishus. You might have thought that the first night is also just optional. Tamid Lomar Amatzosum Ronim Yocheluhu. You have to eat the Korban Pesach and Mardor together with matzah. But what about nowadays? We don't have the Korban Pesach. How do you know that you still have to eat matzah on the first night, even when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer standing? Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk comes to teach, Ba'erev tochlu matzos, on that night you shall eat matzos, hakasuv kav ochov. The Pasuk establishes it as an obligation. Okay, so we did a lot of, you know, twisting and turning, bending over, backwards, in order to basically establish our practice, which is that there's an obligation, full-fledged biblical obligation, to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. But going forward, that obligation doesn't persist. It's only on the first night. Whatever happened to just the simple impression from the psukim, which is that it seems to be that we're supposed to eat matzah for all 7 days? Does that carry any weight? Are there any echoes of that, even in our practice? And let's grant that there are some echoes, which we'll see. Why would the Torah write it in this way? That it's almost like there's like this intentional misimpression, right? Obviously, Hashem knew what he was doing when he wrote these words, or when he gave these words to Moshe to write, right? So it's almost like there's some intentionality here that we want you to think on the one hand that it's like a 7 day matzah eating experience, but then really, 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 it's only one night. What's going on over there? So when I say that there are echoes of the 7 days of a mitzvah, that really comes from some of the Rishonim, and it's also made famous by the practice of the Gra. This is often quoted in the name of the Perush al HaTorah called the Chizkuni. So the Chizkuni and others of the Balei HaTosfos on the Torah, and also the Gra, they all believe that while there is a full-fledged, bona fide obligation to have matzah on the first night, and that's true only of the first night, there does remain what we call a mitzvah kiyumis. It's not something that you have to do, but if you do it, then you get credit as a mitzvah. So they say that eating matzah throughout the rest of Pesach is a mitzvah kiyumis. It's not just like neutral. It's not just like, I could eat an apple or I could eat matzah. No, if I eat matzah, I'm actually going to fulfill a mitzvah, according to the Balei HaTosfos, according to the Chizkuni, according to the Gra. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this position of the Gra. Many, many people have the practice to try to have matzah every day of Pesach, even if like it's not so hard, because what else are you going to eat? But they try to go out of their way to have matzah. And the Aruch HaShulchan has a striking line where he says that even if this is not a mitzvah that was explicitly commanded from the Ribono Shel Olam, it is what we call Ratzon Hashem. Now we're opening up a Pandora's box. I don't really want to talk about that so much tonight, but basically the Aruch HaShulchan introduces this category called, it's not neutral, it's not an obligation, but it is what Hashem wants. Okay, so at the end of the day, we do have this echo of the 7 days of matzah, Chag HaMatzos. We call all 7 days Chag HaMatzos. This practice was to eat matzah for all 7 days. Now, there's a fascinating question that's asked by the Baal HaMor in source number 6. The Baal HaMor was Rabbi Nuzrachya HaLevi. He lived in the 1100s, and he wrote a perush, or really an attack, on the Rif, Rabbeinu Alfasi. The Rif was the first one to codify halachos directly from the Gemara. He made like the first halacha lamaisa sefer. And the Baal HaMor took issue with some of the Rif's psakim, and he wrote a commentary on the Rif. So this was Rabbeinu Zrachya HaLevi. And then the Ramban, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, came along in what's called the Milchemes Hashem. He fought on behalf of Hashem to defend the Rif against the Baal HaMor. So let's see the Baal HaMor's claim. Here the Baal HaMor is not attacking the Rif, he's just asking his own question. It's a fascinating question. Source number 6. V'yesha shoalim b'achilas matzah. There are those who ask about the eating of matzah. Ma ta'am in anu mevarchim aleha kol shiva, k'moshe mevarchim ala sukkah kol shiva. Why is it that when I have a nice matzah pizza on the third day of Pesach, I make a hamotzi, but I don't make a bracha of al achilas matzah? Why not? On the third day of Pesach, if I choose to have a nice meal, and on the third day of Sukkot, if I choose to have a nice meal, I go into my sukkah, I make a bracha of leishev basukkah, right? Now, did I have to go into the sukkah in order to eat my meal? I could have just eaten an apple and not have to go into the sukkah, right? I chose to go into the sukkah because of the meal that I wanted to have. So therefore, now I make a bracha. So what's the difference? I choose to eat matzah the rest of Pesach. Why don't I make a bracha? We should connect the two. After all, continues the Baal HaMor, Daha Gamrinon Mehadadeh. We have the famous Gezeira Shava Tesvav Tesvav. The link between the 15th of Tishrei, Sukkot, and the 15th of Nisan. And we extrapolate halachos from one to the other all the time. So the Hagarmino Mehadade, Shalaila Harishon Chova, Mikan Vailach Rishus, Bein Mematzah, Bein Besukkah. That the first night is an obligation to eat, whether it's matzah, whether it's in the sukkah, and then the rest is what we call Iba'i Achil, Iba'i Lo Achil. If you want to eat, go ahead. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So why do we kind of split hairs here? Why are we saying that for sukkah we make a bracha, but not for matzah? Everybody with me on that question? Okay. So it's a very strong question. Good. So far we have two questions on our hands. Number one, what's going on with this like seeming intentional misimpression going on in the psukim of the 7 days of eating matzah? Number two, we could add to that kind of as like a corollary or a subsidiary, we could say, what exactly is the nature of the mitzvah to eat matzah on days 2 through 7? Everybody holds, okay, there's a full-fledged obligation to eat on night one. But days 2 through 7, what exactly, what is the gra and the chizkuni, what do they have in mind? What mitzvah are you fulfilling? What's the mitzvah all about? And number three, why do we distinguish between Pesach and Sukkot? Okay, so we have a mystery here. So in order to get to the bottom of this mystery, we're going to kind of go off track for a second, and we're going to discuss a crucial topic when it comes to the halachos of Pesach and specifically of matzah, which is the relationship between chametz and matzah. You could learn Maseches Pesachim in Daf Yomi, which you should, and it's an amazing thing to do. You could learn through Maseches Pesachim in Daf Yomi and not realize how many proofs, how many pieces of evidence we have of an inherent connection between matzah, which is what we're obligated to eat, and chametz, which is what we're prohibited to eat. There's a very interesting, it seems like, intrinsic link between these two items. So I'm going to prove this to you in a whole slew of ways. We're going to talk about the people who are obligated to eat. We're going to talk about how the matzah, what ingredients does matzah need. We're going to talk about when chametz is aser. We're going to talk about the process through which you make matzah. All of these questions revolve around the connection between chametz and matzah. We're going to go through a whole number of gemaras. It's going to be very inside tonight. And by the end, you'll see that this is like Omer Darsheni, as they say in the Beis Medrash. Right? This requires some explanation. So let's start in source number 8. Okay. So Nashim Midr Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Nafka. The context of the gemara here is trying to prove the obligation of women in matzah. Generally, women are exempt from mitzvah saseh she'azman grama. Matzah is certainly a mitzvah saseh she'azman grama. You only have to eat it on the night of the 15th. So why are women obligated to eat matzah? So says the Gemara. D'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, v'chein tana d'vir Rav Yishmael, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Isha v'isha ki yasu mikol chatos ha'adam, a man or woman, when they trespass, again, they violate a prohibition. So hishva hakasov ish li'isha, l'chol onshin shabbatot. The Torah equates men and women when it comes to prohibitions. There are no prohibitions, generally speaking, unless it clearly applies to one gender or the other. By default, they apply to both. Prohibitions apply to both. Okay. So that's how we know that women are prohibited from eating chametz. So why do we need a separate pasuk to tell us that? So says the Gemara, it's trich sakadai techamino, you might have thought, hoi uchsiv lo sochal alav chomit, shivas yamim tochal alav matzos. Remember we saw that pasuk? Don't eat chomets, for 7 days you should eat matzah. So already we have the connection between chomets and matzah. So the Gemara wants to say, kol sheyeshno bekum echol matzah, yeshno beval tochal chomets. You might have thought that only those who are obligated to eat matzah are those who are prohibited from eating chametz. Can you imagine that some people on Pesach would be allowed to eat chametz and others wouldn't? What would that Pesach look like? Vahani noshe, women, nahu bekum echol matzah. At this stage in the Gemara, we're assuming that women are exempt from eating matzah. Why? Dehavale mitzvah sasei shasman grama. Because it's a time-bound mitzvah. So ema bival tochal chametz nami lesnayu. Maybe we should say that since women, again in the Havamina, are exempt from eating matzah, so too they're allowed to eat chametz. So kamash malan. So therefore, there's a separate pasuk of kol that teaches us that women also are not allowed to eat chametz. So already in the Havamina, you see this link, right? You might have thought that only the people who are obligated to eat matzah are prohibited from eating chametz. And then in conclusion, we're going to flip the script. So now let's finish it up. Now that we've included women in the prohibition of eating chametz, israbi nami la'achilas matzah. So now they're also included in the obligation to eat matzah. Why? Rabbi Elazar, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, nashim chayavos ba'achilas matzah dvar Torah. There's a biblical obligation for women to eat matzah. Shneamar lo sochal alav chametz vegomer. Meaning, lo sochal alav chametz, don't eat chametz. Rather, shivas yamim tochal matzos. For 7 days, you should eat matzah. So the Gemara darshins, it extrapolates. Kol sheyeshno bevat tochal chametz, anybody who is prohibited from eating chametz, yeshno beachilas matzah, is obligated to eat matzah. Vahani noshe nami ho v'yeshnam bevat tochal chametz, yeshno bekum echol matzah. Since women are prohibited from eating chametz, they're obligated to eat matzah. So you see, the whole Gemara here is all based, it's rooted in the assumption that there's this connection, there's a hekesh, there's a link between chametz and matzah. In the Havamina, we wanted to spin it in the more lenient direction, which is to say that women would be exempt from matzah and therefore not prohibited to eat chametz. And in the conclusion, we spin it in the opposite direction, that since they're prohibited to eat chametz, therefore they're obligated to eat matzah, even though it's a mitzvah saseh she'azman grama. So the whole reason why women are obligated to eat matzah is just because they're prohibited from eating chametz. Point number one, that's the scope of people who are obligated to eat matzah is based on those who are prohibited from eating chametz. Source number nine, the Mishnah tells us that matzah must be made with the 5 species of grains, wheat, barley, rye, spelt, and oats. Did I get them? Okay, so that's what the Mishnah tells us. And then it says, why just those 5? Why do those have to be the ingredients for matzah? Says the Gemara on the back, in the top, Minohani Mili, how do we know? Because the Braisa says, Amakra, Lo sochal olav chomit shivas yamim tochal olav matzos. Again, we have the link between not eating chomets and instead eating matzah. Devarim haboim lidei chimots, only ingredients that can rise, that can become chomets, Adam yotzei bohen yedei chovaso b'matzah. Those are the ingredients that you can use for matzah. Yotzu elu she'in bo'en lidei chimutz ela lidei sirchon. However, other ingredients which don't actually rise but just spoil, those cannot be used for matzah. So the ingredients of matzah are also based on what actually becomes chametz. Take the next source in source number 10. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. When mid-oraisa, when biblically are we obligated to desist from eating chametz? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, from 6 hours and onward on the 14th of Nisan. Pesach didn't start yet, Chag HaMatzos didn't start yet, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't eat chametz mid-oraisa from Chatzos and onward on the 14th. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, no, can't be. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Isser Midoraisa, biblical prohibition, applies only once Chag HaMatzos actually kicks in. Why? Says Rabbi Shimon. V'chi efshar lomar kein? Can you say, as you said, Rabbi Yehuda, that it should start all the way from Chatzos? V'alo kvar ne'mar, lo sochal olav chametz, shivas yomim tochal olav matzos. Don't eat chametz, rather eat matzah for 7 days. What do you see? That the timing of the obligation and the prohibition have to coincide. They have to come together. So if the obligation to eat matzah kicks in only at night on the 15th, then that's the only time when the prohibition to eat chametz can kick in. So we have the person, we have the ingredients, we have the timing. Now let's see one more. Source number 11. Oh, what a wild gemara. Source number 11. Tanur Rabbanan. The Braisa says, Yachol yotzei adam yedei chovaso betevel shalo nitkan. Tevel is produce from which truma and maser have not been taken. Right? So the Torah obligates us to tithe our produce. And anything that has not been separated, so that's considered what we call tevel. Okay? The Braisa tells us that if you have such produce, if you have such grains, you cannot use them for matzah. You make a dough out of those grains and you make bake matzahs out of them, no good. Those matzahs don't count. Why? Minayin. How do we know this? Talmud lomar lo sochal olav chametz. You can't eat chametz, and we connect that to matzah. So look at the way the Braisa takes this. Mi she'isuro mishum bal tochal olav chametz. The only matzah that you can use to fulfill your mitzvah is a grain that would have been prohibited as chametz had it risen. But if it's prohibited because of some other prohibition, then it can't be used as matzah. Yotza zeh she'ein isuro mishum bal tochal chametz, elo mishum bal tochal tevel. Tevel is prohibited to eat. So here we have a substance, we have material, which is asur mishum tevel. So it's not exclusively asur because of chametz. Says the Gemara, at least according to the Chachamim, anything that is not that would not have been potentially exclusively prohibited because of chametz cannot be used for matzah.
This is like Rabbi Shimon l'shitasa.
Let's hear.
Because Rabbi Shimon was the one who argued against Rabbi Yehuda, the previous source, that you have this very strong connection. It's impossible that the bizman she'ein mitzvah l'chilas matzah, you can't have a chilas chametz.
Right, and now he has another connection.
That yes. You have to have iser chametz, or that the two are very strongly connected.
Yes, I think Dovi's pointing out that this whole Gemara is going according to Rabbi Shimon, and that makes sense because we saw earlier that Rabbi Shimon was the one who linked chametz and matzah in terms of time. Dovi, the only point I would respond is that yes, in like b'di'eved almost in retrospect, the overlap is very convincing and compelling, but at the same time, the Gemara ties it specifically to Rabbi Shimon's assumption that isur chal al isur, which I'm not getting into right now, so don't worry if you're not familiar with that concept. It's not important for our purposes right now. Okay, so what's going on here? Why is it so? What's going on with this hekesh between chametz and matzah? So much so that we have this possibility that only that which would have been also because of chametz also can be used for matzah. Only the people who are prohibited from chametz, or all of the people who are prohibited from chametz, have to eat matzah. Only the ingredients that can become chametz can be used for matzah. What's going on? So on one level, we'll take this one step further in the few minutes that we have remaining, but on one level, what seems to emerge is that when we eat matzah, certainly we are fulfilling a biblical command. Ba'erev tochlu matzos. Matzah is a very multifaceted mitzvah. There's a lot going on. And if you take a look at source number 7, So the Gemara says, the Torah calls matzah lechem oni, which usually we translate as poor man's bread. Yeah? That's only true according to maybe two out of the three interpretations in the Gemara. First, the Gemara says lechem oni, lechem sha'onin olav dvarim harbe, bread on which you say many things. That's why we have the matzah on the table during the Seder. because you're saying all of the Haggadah, you're saying Hallel and Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim in front of the bread. Lechem sho'onin olav darim harbe. What that suggests is that matzah is really like a bread of hoda'a. It's a bread that's used in order to express thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having performed the miracle and taken us out of Mitzrayim and taken us under his wing, so to speak, of Yachol, as his nation. Oh. Okay, so that's Lechem Oni number one. Lechem Oni number two is true, is Lechem Oni, a poor man's bread. Madarko Beprusa Afkan Beprusa, that's why we do Yachatz. We have a portion of the matzah, and that perhaps suggests that it's based, that the lechem, the matzah, is not only a bread of hodah, but it's also reminding us of our slavery, right? That this is kind of what we were able to put together during our avdus, and even after our avdus, as we rushed out of Mitzrayim. The ki v'chipazon yatzah sameyaretz Mitzrayim. We didn't have the time to sit around and bake. And then there's a third one. This is the one that gets the least press. It's like, most people don't know about this third one. We don't really talk about it that much at the Seder. It says like this, Dover Acher, second line, Madarko shel ani hu masik v'ishto ofa, just as the way of the poor man is that he kindles the fire and his wife bakes the bread. And what this is saying is that the bread goes straight into the oven right after the oven has been kindled. Because the poor man is concerned that he's going to run out of firewood. And therefore, he doesn't want to waste any of his fuel. So he takes advantage of his fuel only once the bread is ready to go, only once the dough is ready to go in. So too, afkan nami hu masik v'ishto ofa. It's also the case when it comes to matzah that the person, that there has to, it's very quick, right? It's a very hastened process. You got to make the dough, put straight into the oven. Lechem Oni. That's what the Torah is referring to when it says Lechem Oni. Why is like the process of making the matzah so quickly so important? Come back to that in a second. But the reason why I quoted this Gemara is because I was trying to say that matzah is a very multifaceted mitzvah. On the night of Pesach, we're doing a lot of things when we eat the matzah. One additional thing that we might be doing when we eat the matzah is we might be rejecting chametz by eating matzah. Anybody ever think about that? By eating matzah, we're making a statement that chametz is off limits. And this really coheres very well with a more general perspective on chametz, which we'll talk about in the coming weeks, especially when we speak about bedikas chametz. There's a lot of evidence, a lot of source material, that chametz is associated with the Yetzer Hara, maybe with Avodah Zarah, the way we call it, the Sa'or Shebi Isa, the little part of us that's always, you know, trying to, you know, to get us to waver, to get us to swerve off the path. That's chametz. And Mori Verabi of Rosenzweig explained so beautifully also, I'll try to say this quickly, which is that, I actually said this to the kids on Shabbos. I told them we're going to say it on Monday night. You can't lie to the kids, so you got to say it. Okay, so on Pesach, we merited our freedom, our redemption from Mitzrayim, right? We're a free nation. But there's one critical component of our religion that we don't yet have on Pesach. What is that?
Torah.
Exactly. Right? We don't have the Torah yet. We have to wait another 7 weeks until we get the Torah. That's Sfiras HaOmer, right? So Rav Rosenzweig is such a beautiful idea. It's always took me. So Rav Rosenzweig explains that the idea of rejection of chametz on Pesach. So you have to understand, what does chametz symbolize? What does it represent? Chametz is that which grows in an unrestricted, unfettered form, right? You put yeast into something and it can continue to rise and enlarge, yeah? Matzah is something that we almost prevent from growing. So what the Torah is trying to tell us is that when we experience physical redemption, that's good. But within that context, within that framework, we cannot yet have unrestricted growth. You can't just choose to kind of be and do whatever you want after this physical redemption. We need something to guide us, to be moreh, Torah, to be moreh, to guide us as to how to live. We don't yet have that until Shavuos. So that's why on Pesach, we go out of our way to reject the chametz. Chametz is poisonous on Pesach. Because having that form of unrestricted growth without the confines, the boundaries, the framework of Torah, of Devar Hashem, that's a very dangerous thing. Then we come to Shavuos, when we get the Torah, and what do we offer in the Beis HaMikdash? One of the only times the entire year where we offer a korban called the Shtei HaLechem. You bring bread into the Beis HaMikdash. Almost every single korban was matzah. Almost every single one. Nazir has one exception. But almost every korban was matzah. In fact, it's prohibited to offer bread in the Beis HaMikdash. Except on Shavuos. Because on Shavuos, when you get the Torah, then you can have that unrestricted growth. Inocha ben chorin elamisha osik batorah. The real free person is the person who grows within the confines of the Dvar Hashem. That's the transition from Pesach to Shavuos, from chametz being asur and poisonous to bringing chametz in the Beis HaMikdash. So if we understand that chametz is poisonous to this degree, then we can also understand that when we eat matzah, what we're trying to do is actually reject the chametz. And that's why the matzah had to be able to become chametz. Because it's not a rejection unless it's a potential, unless it's there. But if it's a potential, and nonetheless you shove it to the side, now I've made a statement. Now I've said that these 7 days are about matzah, not about chametz. These 7 days are about me reflecting on my thanksgiving to Hashem for having taken me as part of His nation. I'm not yet ready for the chametz. That'll be on Shavuos. Right now, chametz is on the sideline. That might explain, going backwards, that might explain what the whole kiyum is of eating matzah for all 7 days. Matzah on the first night, on the Leil HaSeder, that's a full-fledged obligation because that's part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's part of telling the story. I'm using the poor man's bread to express my thanks and to reflect back on the slavery. Days 2 through 7, that's all done. We took care of that on the first night. Nothing left. But there's still something to eating matzah. It's still Chag HaMatzos. Why? Because when I eat matzah throughout the rest of the days, I'm rejecting chametz. I'm making a statement about exactly the stage that we occupy right now. That we're not yet at Shavuos. We've experienced the physical redemption, but not the spiritual redemption, so to speak. And maybe that's why we don't make a bracha. Because it's not really a mitzvah in its own right. It's a mitzvah to reject something else. That was my suggestion. Maybe that's why that's the distinction between Sukkot and Pesach. Why on Sukkot you make a bracha when you eat in the sukkah? Because yeah, you're doing something positive. On Pesach, you're also doing something positive, but the positive is the rejection of a negative. And maybe that wouldn't warrant a bracha. Just a suggestion. Okay. Oh man. Too much fun over here. Okay. All right, I'll tell you one more idea without going through so many of the sources. Rav Rosenzweig took this one level further, one stage further. And he explained that it's not only that when we eat the matzah, we're rejecting the chametz. The potential for something to become chametz, and then the active decision to make it matzah instead, that's an entirely, additional statement. That's not just rejecting chametz. You know what that's saying? That's saying that I'm taking a stance of investment in the mitzvos, right? We know that the Torah tells us, Ushmartem es hamatzos. We have to guard the matzah. That's why matzah is so expensive, in addition to the baking process. Because it has to be guarded. It has to be guarded from becoming, from any leaven. Yeah? Ushmartem es hamatzos. Usually when we talk about shmira, you talk about safeguarding something or protecting it. Let's use that word. Talk about protection. Usually what we're talking about is, again, blocking a negative from entering. Yeah, that's usually what a shmira is. In this context, the term shmira takes on a totally additional meaning. It's not only blocking the matzah from becoming chametz. It's also, it's a positive process where you're doing something active. I am safeguarding the matzah. not just preventing it from becoming chametz. I'm like taking ownership of it. I'm safeguarding this item. And by doing that, you're making a statement. You're making a statement that you're alacritous about the mitzvos, that you're invested in it, that you're ambitious about it. That's the process, that's the idea of shmira. So the whole idea is that you have to have the risk of something becoming chametz, so that provides you the opportunity to take an ambitious stand and stance and say, I'm going to be invested here, not allow that to happen, but rather I'm going to make sure that this is going to be matzah. And now we understand why Chazal interpreted Ushmartem es hamatzos as what? Ushmartem es hamitzvos. We have to safeguard the mitzvos. Mitzvah habal liyadcha al tachmitzena. When a mitzvah comes your way, don't delay it. Because the whole message of Chag HaMatzos is our investment, our ambition in Hashem's program as being Am Hashem. That's what we want to do. There's a whole idea of Chavivos, of the belovedness of mitzvos on Pesach. We say Shir Ashirim, Asher Lishlomo. We have a relationship of love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's nothing that could stop us from being invested. That's what a positive shmira, the risk of chametz, the rejection of the chametz, the safeguarding of the matzah, that's what it all represents. And perhaps now we can understand why the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos and not Pesach. Beautiful, I'm sure some of you have heard before, it's a beautiful piece from Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev, Kedushas Levi. He explains that this fascinating irony, and it's beautiful. We call Pesach Pesach. Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzos. Hashem did Pesach for us. He was Poseach. He skipped over the houses to save us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. We did Matzah for Hashem. So we each call the holiday based on what the other did. We call Pesach Pesach, and Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzos because of this relationship of love, of investment, of ambition. Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzos because that's the statement that we made when we baked our matzos and took them out of Mitzrayim. That we are all in. We are safeguarding these matzos. That's what Chag HaMatzos is all about for all 7 days. Yes, maybe there's only a full-fledged obligation to have that kezias on the night of the 15th. But throughout the entire holiday, we have the Chag HaMatzos, the theme of rejecting the chametz, of the unfettered growth, and also the opportunity to safeguard the matzah, and more generally the mitzvos, as we embark on becoming the Am Hashem on our way towards Shavuos. Wish everybody a good rest of the week, and we'll go forward next week we're canceled, but the following week we'll go forward, Be'ez Hashem.